Welcome and good morning. This is a weird feeling, staring into a camera and not your faces this morning, but I'm glad you're here. Man, this is a whole new meaning to come as you are. I'm expecting and know my family and many others are probably sitting at home in their pajamas, snuggled up on their couches still. And that's just awesome that we can still do this. Enjoy your couch, enjoy your recliner. And just thinking about that brings me back to the many times that I spent in youth rooms with the mismatched couches. And that's kind of what church gets to be in our homes today and for the next couple of weeks. So I hope you've got your coffee, and I'd ask that you would have your Bible on hand or your Bible app on your phone or whatever you're using to stream this here with us today. But have that on hand so we can spend some time together in God's Word this morning. But as hard and as difficult as this is, I am so glad that we have the means and the ability to continue to gather together for time in God's Word. Even though we cannot be physically together, and don't get me wrong, I am waiting and hoping to find a countdown for the day that we can get together. We can have a huge party when this is all said and done. But praise God that we live in a country where we can get in God's Word. And I want you to know that I am here praying with you as we navigate this together. One of the pieces that I'm missing is our time together in prayer. So as you think about prayer, I want to invite you to shoot us an email. Make a comment on the YouTube video, the links that are there. Use that, reach out, and we would love to be praying for you in this time as we are separated. But this morning, we're going to be looking at blindness, talking about blindness and eyes being opened. And now we often joke with one another that so-and-so is blind as a bat. And now when we say this, we are inferring that they have a prescription that is so strong that they can't see without it. Or maybe if we're making fun of somebody, it's because they can't see something that's right in front of their face. I would be the latter, while my wife is the former. Kristen, even though I can't look her in the eyes to say this, I feel a little weird doing this through video, but I asked her permission this morning. Kristen, my wife is one of these people who is blind as a bat, unable to see without the help of glasses. Myself, I got glasses in high school, but this wasn't because of my vision per se. It was because I needed help correcting an astigmatism. And even now today, I have grown out of my astigmatism and no longer need to wear anything to correct my eyesight. So blindness. Other than waking up in the middle of the night and groggily making my way to the bathroom, only to find something new in the familiar path that I trip over, blindness is something that is unfamiliar to me and probably is unfamiliar to most of you as well. But seeing is something that we often take for granted. Most cases we hear about are not sight being gained, but rather sight that is lost. Both of my grandfathers suffered from macular degeneration, and as they grew older, they lost the majority of their eyesight. And this was difficult as we would come to visit, and they were no longer able to recognize who it was that came in the room. Even getting up close to them, they could dimly make out our silhouette, but they could not see who it was. Another way we take seeing for granted is that not everyone can see what most of us find normal. Have you ever watched a video of someone being surprised with glasses to correct color blindness? Man, these videos have been pretty powerful, as there's many more popping up around there as that technology has become more available. But there, you're witnessing the emotion of someone who has spent years viewing a less colorful world, who is suddenly able to see the beauty of the color spectrum in a way that they had never before seen. And as I was looking at what is happening in our medical world with technology, with surgeries. We can find stories of success of correcting blindness. Technology improvements have brought about very expensive glasses that can help the legally blind to see again. But this morning, we are going to be reading from John 9, where Jesus encounters the blind. One physically blind from birth, and many who are spiritually blind. Normally, we don't use such a large text, but this morning, I want to read the entirety of John 9 with you. So I invite you to pull out your Bibles, open up your Bible apps to John chapter 9. And we're going to be spending the morning, but I want to read these verses to you today because the entirety of this story is needed to understand what Jesus is truly encountering when he's talking about blindness. So reading from the word of the Lord this morning. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked. "I don't know," he said. They brought it to the Pharisees, the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such marvelous, miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now? Or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who was acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you this already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are his fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. Here ends our reading. I invite you to pray with me. God, we come before you this morning as we have read your word. We pray your truth be spoken through this as we are gathered around the country, the nation, as we are gathered around Fort Collins. We pray that your word would come to us where we are. God, we thank you. And we ask that you would be seen and proclaimed this morning. In your name, amen. So, right before chapter 9 starts, Jesus is having an interesting altercation. He's just walked away at the end of whom was their God, was the one who was giving Jesus honor. He was the one in whose name Jesus was coming. Rather, they didn't want to call him a prophet. They didn't want to call him a savior. Rather, they called him demon-possessed multiple times. And then Jesus goes on trying to show them who he is, trying to tell them who he is. And he says that he is I Am. The same name that God gave himself when Moses asked, who should I say sent me? God tells him, as you go to Egypt to relieve my people, to bring them out of captivity, tell them that I am sent you. Jesus saying, I am. I am God with you. And their response was to pick up stones and to kill him. But Jesus slipped away, and it is in his slipping away where he comes across this blind man. But before Jesus can do his healing that we read about, the disciples ask this question about sin. Whose fault is it that this man is blind? Was it his? Or was it his parents' sin that caused his blindness? Now, they're asking this question because Jewish teachers taught that there is no death without sin. And they leaned heavily to the parts of God's law and judgments where he warned Israel that the consequences of their actions would carry into future generations. Now, this was both the good and the bad. And so the idea that illness, disease, malformity, probably even misfortune would be signs of God's punishment for someone's sin. This is what they were taught. This is what many feared. This is what they believed. And this is why the disciples were asking this question of who is the one responsible for the sin? And if we're being honest, don't many of us still process hardships similar to this to the disciples or the Jewish teachers here? We think ourselves responsible for what has befallen us. I deserve this. I must have done something wrong. There's a military show that I was watching, And one of the characters did just this. He was special forces and put into dangerous and difficult situations. He had a daughter that died suddenly while he was deployed. She passed away without warning, and he blamed himself. God was punishing him because around the same time his daughter passed in her sleep, he was in an encounter where he had killed a child soldier. God was punishing him and taking one life for another. He was responsible for his child's death. Some of us might be thinking and asking this question now as we are watching the rampant spread of the coronavirus. Is God punishing us? Whose fault is it? We must be responsible. This question about sin comes up in many more places in our text. The disciples asking Jesus whose sin was responsible. The Pharisees boldly dismissing and proclaiming the blind man as a sinner, calling Jesus a sinner. And they would be right, with the exception of Jesus. The blind man was a sinner. So were the disciples. So were the Pharisees. God tells us that we have all fallen short from the glory of God, his glory. All are born under sin. I was born under sin. My children were born in sin. We all are born in sin. And God tells us the consequence of sin is death. The consequence of sin is a broken world that is full of disease, hate, violence, deceit, and yes, even viruses and selfish preservation. All of us are deserving of being held responsible for our sins. All of us rightly being responsible for the pain and the anguish that we go through. Just as the disciples are asking Jesus of the blind man, but we have the same Jesus who came, who was standing over the blind man on the side of the road, who says this. He says, it is not his sin. This happened so that the word of God might be displayed in his life. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life, in our lives. Jesus goes on to say that while he is in the world, he is the light of the world. And this is powerful imagery, especially when we're talking about sight being given to a blind man. Without the light, we don't see. Everything is dark. Without the consequence, death and brokenness, we won't see or acknowledge the sin. We are like the man born blind, unable to see because of this thing God calls sin, unable to understand our brokenness and the brokenness that is in this world without his Son, the light of the world shining light into the darkness, bringing light, bringing sight where we could not see. But as the recounting of this healing goes on, we see that it is not the blind man who is truly blind. As the end of John 8 leads into chapter 9, the crowds who went to stone Jesus were blind, and they could not see the promised Messiah that they had been hoping and praying for standing right before their very eyes. As the blind man returned to his home, to his town. The neighbors and the locals who had passed him in the streets, who had seen him, some recognized him, but many were blind to the idea that this was the man that they knew. They were blind to the miraculous healing that Jesus had given. The Pharisees, just as the Jewish crowd seeking to stone Jesus, who knew the promises of the Messiah better than anyone, and yet they profusely refused to recognize Jesus as being from God. Making the claim, how could he, a sinner, do this? Asking multiple times the same question, stunned by disbelief. They were blinded by their calloused, self-righteous hearts to the witness and testimony of God's Son before them. These teachers of the law being taken to school by one who didn't even understand his own sin, but proclaimed to them these words, "You don't know where he comes from. Yet he opened my eyes." We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man that does his will. Nobody has ever heard of this happening before, of a blind man's eyes being opened. And if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Even with this clear proclamation of God's working and the testimony of his to the blind man's encountering and being healed by Jesus, they remained in the dark, blind to the very promises that they clung to. I think we could also say there's another group in this narrative that is blind as well. In their questioning, the disciples were blind to the man that Jesus clearly saw. To them, he was a beggar. He or his parents were responsible for his state. On a normal day, they probably would have even just walked past him without taking much notice. But Jesus takes notice and shines the light into the darkness. Literally creating light as he gave sight to this man who had only known darkness. But so much more. Jesus brought life to what was dead. As the true light that the once blind man saw. It was not the light of day, but it was the light of the Son of Man, who he got to see face to face, to which he responded, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus, through his life, his death, and his resurrection, offers this to all who, like the blind man, are consumed and lost in the darkness. Bringing life, in his death, giving us new life. Should only we respond as the once blind man did, "Lord, I believe. I believe that you are who you say you are. You are the Son of God, the Son of Man. You are, I am." And in this belief, in this simple statement, Jesus declares that we are no longer consumed by the darkness that brought, but we are brought into his light. We are no longer defined as sinners, but is righteous and redeemed. We are His. If you believe and confess that Jesus is Lord, your eyes have been opened. Jesus says very clearly in this text that while He was in this world, He was the light of the world. But as His story of reclaiming His creation goes on, but as He tells us that we are His, as He gives us the gift of His Spirit to lead us and guide us in truth, it is in His Spirit that we become what Jesus pronounces over those who believe in Him, His church. In Matthew 5, He uses these words. He says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." It is in and through the light that we are able to bring the light to others. There is so much fear and panic, anxiety and uncertainty that is going around today as schools have closed for the most of the year, as businesses are shutting down, as everybody is working from home, as people are losing their jobs. There's financial uncertainty. And yes, there is sickness and there is death. But in this, may we hear the Spirit reminding us of Jesus' words that this happened, this is happening, that the work of God might be displayed. That the work of God might be displayed in the lives of His church, bringing hope to those who don't know the peace and assurance found in the promises of our Father. We can no longer wear blinders. The church cannot respond as the disciples responded to the blind man. God has opened our eyes to His truth, to His promises, to His Son. He promises to lead us in His Spirit. And in this whole story, as God sent Jesus, Jesus sends us in His Spirit. You are the light of the world. I was reminded of the words from 1 John 3:16 through 18, as we are struggling with what does the church look like when we can't meet, when we can't gather, when we can't go and embrace one another, we can't go and embrace our neighbor. And these words, I want to share them with you now. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees his neighbor in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. This is not easy because right now we cannot be gathered. But rather, we are the church scattered out amongst our community. As Jesus is the light who has redeemed us, has brought us out of the darkness, who has given us new life. We now are the light sent out into the dark to love with actions and truth so that God might be displayed. This is not a hopeless situation. This is not the end of God's church. In many ways, this is the beginning. May God lead you in His Spirit and use you, use us in this time to open the eyes of the blind. Church, go and be the church. Let's pray. Father, we come before you as these sinners. We come before you as these blind that we read in this account, in this story of Jesus' ministry. God, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for that searchlight that he has shown into our lives. We thank you for his work on the cross, his paying that debt of our sin so that we might be given new life, that we might no longer be under the sting of death, no longer fear death. God, that in these dark times, we are not consumed by the darkness, but God, your light radiates forth. God, this is hard. But we have your word and we have your promises. And God, we know that this is to bring glory to you. God, we ask your protection for our first responders. For the nurses and the doctors who are working tirelessly, who are putting themselves at risk to care for those who become infected, who need their assistance. God, give us wisdom as individuals, as the church, as communities, as we struggle through these ideas of social distancing, of isolation. But God, may we, in the midst of this, be your light to the darkness in our communities. May we be your ambassadors, going and bringing hope and speaking truth, not overlooking those in need. But stepping in to what is going on, coming alongside, joining in the struggles of fear and anxiety and confusion. God, may we as your church work in your Spirit that eyes might be opened. We pray this in your mighty and holy name. Amen. And now as we go, I want to send us off with this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.